This is Vision for Christ, a radio ministry of Future Vision Ministries. Our offices are in the city of Cambridge in Ontario, Canada. My name is Tim Taylor, and I'm a friend of Dan Hayhoe. You frequently hear Dan on this program. I live in the United States in the state of Ohio, and I am recording this talk from my home in the U.S. Today you will hear part two of a recorded sermon made about 2 months ago by my longtime pastor of my home church, Pastor Terry Priestap, on the subject of heaven, which I've been talking about on previous broadcasts. Part one of this sermon aired on our last program. It was recorded at a Sunday morning church service. Here now is Terry Priestap to open up the program today in prayer.
Let's ask God for his blessing this morning as we spend time in his word. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before you today, and we just thank you for your many, many mercies to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the vision of heaven. And I pray especially, Lord, for each one here this morning that knows you as their Lord and Savior, but perhaps have not been as focused on eternal realities and heaven as they might have been. God, I pray that today you'd give us a fresh vision of yourself and of heaven and the realities of that place that we are all going to, that it might shape us and form us into the Christians that you want us to be here in this world. Help us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And Father, I pray too that in a large company like this, there are often those who are undecided, have never made the decision yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and know with absolute assurance and confidence that if they should die today, that they would go to heaven. And so, Father, I pray that you'd give them that assurance and confidence today, that they would not trifle with eternity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. As we come down to the very last, second to last day of 2012, I pray, God, that this would be a new day in the lives of everyone here in this room. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven's going to be an incredible place. All the Old Testament saints will be there. And we'll know their names because we're going to know even as we are known. It says at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. Every martyr is going to have a special place there. We will have intelligence and we really will know the Lord. And I want to read this verse to you. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. We're going to have intelligence to know the Lord in a far, far deeper way in our new body than down here. Sin will be put away, the old nature will be gone, and we're going to have the mind of Christ. It's going to be a place of joy and satisfaction, a place of rewards and crowns for those who faithfully served him. Paul talked about the crown of righteousness. Peter talked about the crown of glory. Many crowns. And I just want to read this verse to you because there's going to be a day of reckoning, of evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't confuse the judgment at the great white throne, which is the judgment of unbelievers, with the judgment seat of Christ, which is the evaluation of the works of the believers for the purpose of rewards. Don't confuse those two things. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has done, has built on the foundation, survives, he will receive a reward. There will be rewards given out. And, you know, the really neat thing, I had a kind of like a dream or so about a month ago, and everything that you did for Christ is going to be a reward. But you know something? He's going to show you how, when that was done for him, in reality, he was the one that really did it. He did it in you. It'll all be to his praise and glory. There's not going to be anything that you or I did on our own. We're going to be delighted. He rewards us with that well done, good and faithful servant, to just be able to worship him because it will all be grace. And then it says, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. And then each one will receive his commendation from God, 1 Corinthians 4. Each one. And then at the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, it says this, his bride has made herself ready, It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Just imagine. The garment that you and I wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb will reflect your life and what you did for Christ. Isn't that incredible? The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. We will not look at glory, but on the King of grace. We're going to look upon Him. It's all from Him. Well, what's it finally going to be like to see the Lord? John was the closest to Him here on earth, and he leaned on His breast, but when he saw Him in His glory, he fell at His feet as dead. When he saw Him in His glory, he fell at His feet as dead. Now, think about the most exhilarating experience that you've ever had on earth. Well, that most exhilarating experience that you've ever had is going to be nothing compared to the thrill of seeing Jesus face to face. Is it? Being with Him, gazing at Him, talking with Him. Yeah, talking with Him. Walking with Him. Laughing with Him. Since there's nothing greater in the universe than God, God's going to give us Himself as a gift with the ability to really know Him. We will know even as we are known. There's a little story. It was called The Happiness of Heaven. It was written in 1871. It tells of a kind-hearted king who finds a blind, destitute orphan boy while hunting in the forest. The king takes the boy to his palace and adopts him as his son and provides for his care. He sees to it that the boy receives the finest education. The boy is extremely grateful and loves his father, the king, with all of his heart. But something amazing then happens to the boy. When he is 20, a surgeon performs an operation on his eyes, and for the first time, he is able to see. He's been a prince for many years, surrounded by luxury, but now something much greater than the magnificent food, the gardens, the libraries, the music, and the wonders of the palace take place. So, because for the first time, the boy is able to see his father. I will not attempt to describe the joys that overwhelm the soul of this young man when he first sees the king, his father, that he loves. Much less will I attempt to picture the newfound joy and unspeakable happiness he discovers when he sees all the royal family that he's part of and that honors and loves him. He can't get enough of his father. He loved him before he saw him, but now what a feast for his soul to just gaze upon him whenever he wishes. And when we gaze upon the Lord, we will be beautiful with His beauty. We'll be rich with His wealth. We'll be holy with His holiness. And we'll be happy with His indescribable happiness. Have you dared to think about what it means to be a joint heir with Christ? All that Jesus is going to inherit, we will inherit as well. Jesus, as the last Adam, won the title deeds to all creation at the cross. He owns the universe. All of it. All of it. We will reign with Him. Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The saints will finally fulfill what Adam and Eve were assigned to do and failed. We will reign forever and ever, says Revelation 22:5. We will be busy. We will not be floating around in clouds. Paul said, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world, or that we will judge angels? Jesus spoke in Luke 19:17 of His Father's ruling over cities. We are co-heirs with Him, and we will share His glory. My last question for you. Which world are you living for? This world is a preparation for the next. The only time that you're going to get an opportunity to live by faith, to lay up treasure in heaven, to suffer for His name, to witness for Him, to serve Him in the face of opposition, is now. And whatever God has given to you to use, use it. I don't know how many of you know who Albert McMeekin is. If you do, raise your hand. Albert McMeekin. Well, I want to be at the judgment seat when Albert McMeekin gets his reward. Because Albert McMeekin was a young guy, he was 24, and he wanted to serve the Lord somehow. All he had was a pickup truck. And he thought, there's got to be some way I can use my pickup truck. And he heard there were going to be some evangelistic meetings that week. And so he piled a bunch of guys in his pickup truck, and he took them every night to the evangelistic meetings. But listen, one of the guys who went in the pickup truck that week to the evangelistic meetings and got saved was Billy Graham. Can you imagine Albert McMeekin when he stands at the judgment seat of Christ and it's reviewed of the people that came to the Lord through Billy, indirectly through Albert McMeekin? And, you know, folks, that's the beautiful part about serving the Lord. Jesus just says, I'll provide all the power. You just use the things I gave you to use. And he'll magnify. He'll make them bigger. And someday you'll get rewarded. He said, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Revelation 22:12. Let me just leave you with two more truths. Like the orphan boy, you were chosen. You were chosen. The Bible says you've been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. You're not an accident. God chose you for a purpose. And God, having chosen you in eternity past, also called you. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Romans 8:30. And that calling never ends. You are called in eternity past unto eternity future. So now, the Bible says, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians 4:1. There's a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life. You were chosen. Live in view of eternity. Live in view of the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. In view of one day Jesus standing face to face before you and you hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me close with some words from an old hymn. If here on earth the thoughts of Jesus love, lift our poor hearts this weary world above. If even here the taste of heavenly springs, so cheers the spirit that the pilgrim sings. What will the sunshine of his glory prove? What the unmingled fullness of his love? What hallelujahs will his presence raise? What but one loud eternal burst of praise? Amen.
Thank you, Terry. That was Terry Priestap, longtime pastor of my home church in Ohio in the United States. Let us now go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving Terry and myself the opportunity to share the gospel with millions of people listening on their radios today. I ask you to give them the holy desire to surrender the control of their lives over to your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would repent of their sin and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so they too may join with all of your saints in heaven. I pray in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Future Vision Ministries so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people everywhere, how people can receive Christ by faith, and we want you to become a sincere and true believer in Christ as your Savior. We enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Future Vision Ministries, 1145 Concession Road, Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, N3H4L5. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you were not able to write it down. We enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about what I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address, Future Vision Ministries, 1145 Concession, spelled C-O-N-C-E-S-S-I-O-N, Road, Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, N3H4L5. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor speaking on behalf of Dan Hayhoe, praying God's great blessings, joy, and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship.